Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read those three verses there one more time. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. What I want to talk about today is that this revelation happens to every child of God in time, and it is necessary. I'm going to read, just some various scriptures here, just to get a point across. And I don't know any better way to get a point across than to use the scriptures. Jeremiah verse 24 and verse 7 says, And I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people. And I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart. 1 Samuel 2 and verse 8 says, He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of His saints. And the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. Psalm 65 and verse 4 says, Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Ezekiel 36 and 26 says, A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Verse 27, And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Acts 16 verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord had opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Now, these are just some I picked out. There's a lot more. But if you'll notice, a couple of things that all of these verses have in common. There's no participation by man in any of it. You have I shall, I will, and you have the Lord speaking all of it. And then you also have, you will and you shall, because of what the Lord has said. All of it is of God. and all of it, what I'm talking about here is what happens, what God does to the child of God. There's lots of things he's done for us. There's many, many things, and they are all necessary. Redemption was done for us. Justification was done for us. His substitution, his sacrifice was done for us. But there comes a time when something is going to happen to us. And it's all because of the work of God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Now, there's a reason it happens this way. And I will read two very familiar passages of Scripture, at least familiar to this place, possibly not others. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13 says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath chosen from..." "Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation." He's not just chosen you and left you to sit. He has chosen you to salvation. "Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." 1 Peter 1 and 2, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied." God has, from the beginning, chosen his people to salvation. And God does, in time, reveal himself to every child of God. We have an example of this in, I want to go to Galatians chapter 1. It's just stated plainly here. It's stated in other places, but this plainly here. And I don't know why I went past Galatians to Ephesians. Galatians chapter 1. We have Paul's introduction of the letter to the Galatians. We have Paul saying, there is no other gospel. There is no other. And there are some that would trouble you, and they pervert the gospel. He said, "But we, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." And then he repeated it. "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Said it last week, the only way you will ever learn anything of the Spirit of God is for the Spirit of God to teach you. Anything of the Spirit of God has to be taught by the Holy Spirit. Paul was saying here, he didn't get this gospel from man. That's the deep meaning. He got it by revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Verse 15, but when it pleased God. There's a time. There's a time. God separated Paul from his mother's womb. But there came a time. And that time, it's recorded in here. It was on the road to Damascus. When it pleased God, that's when it happens. Who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. That I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. There came a time in Paul's life when it was time. The revelation of Jesus Christ to the child of God is going to happen in time. And that time is when it pleased God. And if you want to know where it's going to happen, I can tell you where it's going to happen. It's going to happen where you are when it's his time. He'll put you where you are in his time. But when it pleased God, when it pleased God to reveal his son in me, this happens to every single child of God. There is no difference in the salvation here, or the salvation in the Old Testament, or the salvation in the Second Advent. There is only one revelation. And that was a revelation we read in Matthew 16. When he asked Peter, he asked the disciples, whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's Matthew 16 and verse 16. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I thank thee, O Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and revealed them unto babes. The thanks go out equally for the hiding and the revealing. And this is the revelation. Christ continued on, and I said, in verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, y'all know of my Catholic background. Peter is not the rock upon which Christ was going to build his church. I don't care what the Catholics say. For one thing, in a couple of verses, he's going to say, get thee behind me, Satan. That should have given him a hint, but it didn't. But Walter, I was looking at this, and I was playing around with the Greek program I got there online. And you look, and it's true. The word Peter is the word rock, but it's rock. Okay? Upon this rock I'm going to build my church is a massive rock. Like a big, huge cliff is what the definition of the word is. And greater than that, even better than that, now that I've learned a little bit about this stuff, if you read it, the word Peter is in the masculine. The word rock and the word church are both feminine. They're separate. It has nothing to do with being male or female. It just has to do with a word association. The word Peter is not associated with the word rock and church in that statement that Christ made. The foundation of the church is that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The foundation of the church is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The foundation of the church is Jesus Christ. He is our rock. He is our foundation on which if we build, the house will stand against the storms of the world. And if you don't build on it, you're building on sand. We sing that song, all other ground is sinking sand. This is the rock on which I'll build my church. The revelation that was given to Peter by God. The same revelation that was given to Paul by Jesus Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you know that, if you truly know that and believe it with no doubt in Him, doubt yourself all you want. No, don't, but don't doubt Him. If you know that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, He is the Anointed One, He is the Messiah, that has been revealed to you. It was revealed unto me. And Christ thanks God for hiding it from the wise and the prudent and for revealing it unto babes. This happens in time to every child of God. Why? Purpose. This is what God has purposed. We're revealed this purpose in John chapter 10. This is the foundation of the church, Jesus Christ, and that you know He is the Christ of God. John chapter 10, verse 15. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. That's a promise from the Son of God. That's a declaration of the purpose of God from before the foundation of the world. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. I had a fella tell me that God's people are not sheep until He saves them. They're either pigs or dogs. I think he's got his metaphors mixed up. These are the words of Jesus Christ. They're sheep. They're not in this fold. There's only one fold and one shepherd. But they're sheep that are not in the fold yet. But them I must bring. How do you get in the fold? You're brought in. How do you get in the fold? You're brought in. You don't come until he draws you, except the Father draw. You don't come except it be given to you of my Father. And you didn't choose me, I chose you. If there's a sheep in the fold, it's because the good shepherd brought that sheep into the fold. He gave the parable. He picks up the sheep, he puts it over his shoulders, and he carries it all the way home. But it was a sheep before he got there. And it was his sheep, and it was a lost sheep. That's the only kinds of sheep there are, lost and found. And you will never find an example of in here where Jesus Christ went out and found a pig or a dog and made it a sheep and then put it on his shoulders and brought it home, because that's not what the truth is. There is an election of grace. There are children of God who are going to receive the spirit of adoption and to become the sons of God. And Christ said, I must bring them. It's going to happen in time for every single child of God. And there's going to be one fold and one shepherd. And there's not going to be one sheep left out, not one chosen child of God left out. He's going to find every single one of them, because he is the good shepherd. How he does this is through his spirit. Because we go from John 10 to John 14. It says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. This is verse 16. That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Pigs and dogs can't receive him, Mason. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth in you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And I jumped over 15, but it's right here, same page on my Bible. John 15, 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you, unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. John 10 says, I must bring. John 14, 15, 16, he says, I'm going to send the Comforter. He's going to show you the things of me. The word they use is Christocentric. Well, it's all about Christ. And if it's not about Christ, it's not the gospel. And that leads us to John chapter 17. John Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. I'm going to jump over to verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That is us. That's me. That's me. And that's you if you believe. That's us. The words that we have here are the words of Christ. And the words of Christ, they are spirit and they are life. This revelation happens in time. This revelation happens from God. This revelation is His Spirit taking the things of Christ and revealing them to you and to me. He shall speak of what he hears. He shall not testify of himself, and he shall glorify Jesus Christ. This happens to every child of God. Christ said he's going to bring them. And you shall believe. You shall believe. If you're one of his, you shall believe. You're going to believe him, and you're going to believe his gospel. And he's going to make it so that you hear his gospel. Christ told, was it Martha? Sister of Lazarus, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And he spoke in another place, as if you believeth not, you are condemned already. The gospel which we try to preach, which we try to proclaim. We try to preach Christ and Him crucified and resurrected and in glory and coming again. As best as we can, God will save His people from their sins. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And he said, if you live and if you believe in me, you'll never die. And then he asked her, believest thou this? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It is the power. It is the dunamis, where we get the word dynamite from. There is a power in the gospel of Christ, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name, if you know it, is glorious. To the world, it's nonsense. It's either foolishness or a stumbling block. But there's nothing wrong with the gospel. There's something wrong with the ground. And if you receive the gospel as it's preached and as it's proclaimed, that is because it has been given to you by the Father, by the Son, and by the Spirit. It is the power of God. And you will hear it, and you will believe it, and we do believe that. That is how He brings you into the fold. His Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. We are the children of God. We are His people. The world won't have this. They won't have Him. The world will not have it. The world does not want it. But I do. I didn't used to. But I do. This is where I want to be. You are the people I want to be around. And that still seems strange to me at times. But right now, I am happiest sometimes just surrounded by the people of God, that people who know Christ. And people like you used to annoy the crap out of me. This is something that God has done to me. He has done in me. He told His disciples, you know the Holy Spirit's been with you, but He's going to be in you. Paul writes in one place, know ye not if you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, or you have the Spirit of Christ in you, except you be reprobate? He brings every one of His sheep into the fold in His time when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me. And once He has revealed His Son in you, you will never, ever forget Him, because you will never, ever be forsaken by Him. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Keep them. That's the prayer in John 17. They are mine. Christ has possessed us. And by His grace, through His purpose, His plan, His work, His will, and His way, we are allowed to lay hold of Him and know that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And He is all my foundation. And I like it. I love it. If it wasn't for this book, I couldn't tell you how I got here. Because it wasn't of me. But I can tell you that I'm very happy to be here. And I am very blessed to be here. Our Heavenly Father, thank You for what You've given to us in this life that we now live. We live through the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us, and then gave Himself to us so that we have within the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ, the love of the Father, all of our salvation, all of our life, everything comes down from the Father of lights, you. Thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.